Blog Talk Radio.
Something that is for the better. If we imagine that it will be, and we certainly hope that it will be, and we are eager to work with the individuals that are new in their
Hello?
Hello?
Peggy, are you with us?
I am. The phone went dead.
Okay, I think we're back up. I'm not sure what happened there.
Okay.
Okay, let me see if Marcy's with us. Stay with us. Marcy, are you with us?
Yes, I was having a problem connecting. It kept hanging up.
Yeah, okay, so I think we had some technical issues. So that's good. We're back on the air.
It looks like they've worked themselves out. So,
possibly.
How are you, ladies?
How are you ladies doing tonight?
We're good. How are you?
Good. So we have, right now, see, people are coming back on. Something must have been a glitch in the system. And I know we're having a storm out here in Colorado, so maybe that's one of the reasons.
Okay.
Excuse my voice. I think I'm going hoarse. Kind of sounds kind of funny, don't I? And so,
a little froggy.
Uh-oh. So anyway, so Marcy, I've got Peggy on the line with us, and
Hey, Marcy.
Hey. So we're talking about Mary. She called into the show, or I talked to her, and she was going to come on to the show. I've got a 239 number. Let me see if I can get these people on. Maybe that's her. 239. Are you with us?
Hello.
No, that's me. Kelly.
Okay. Oh, hi, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi. We've on the line with us. We've got Marcy from Florida. We've got Peggy with us. Our lines are so full that I've got everybody's mics opened. Okay, so I've been trying to get a hold of Mary to come onto the show. She's the one that we were going to be talking about tonight, but I think. Possibly, she's probably listening to us, but I think she's really frightened to maybe come on the air, and we all know how that is. Okay, so I thought we would continue the conversation first to talk about how serious this really is. So I'll be talking to everybody randomly so we don't over-talk on each other, okay? So I'm going to start with Peggy. Peggy?
Yes?
Okay, so give us a rundown on how it is, you know, how frightening it is, you know, to have your son taken away, you know, what people are facing out there. So, you know, in case Mary is listening, she knows that there's a lot of people, you know, next to her side and, you know,
in the same boat
with her.
Yeah, you're devastated, Luann, losing your child. It's like death. Nobody can understand but you, unless somebody like me, like Mary's going through this, I understand. That's why I'm hoping she'll come on so I can talk with her and explain to her that she's not by herself. She does have support out there. It is very scary. I've obtained 5 different attorneys, and they all quit on me because they are scared of dealing with the state. So I've had to go pro bono, and we're halfway through the legislation claim bill process. So we're making great progress there. We talked to Senator Kathleen Pasadena's office, and they're working with us. So we're in our final stages to go to take it to the next level. So I'm hoping Mary will come on so I can explain a little bit about the Florida legislation and try to help her and get her going in the right direction that she needs to be going, because she's not going to find an attorney out there to go up against the government, because they work for the government. So she needs to get with somebody that's pro-C, that's been through the system, going through the system, that knows how to help her. And we're here for her if she needs us.
Right. Now, Peggy, I want to ask you a question. And you got to excuse my voice, but anyway, can she file for guardianship if she's in a different state, or does that pertain to each state? Would you know the law? I know none of us are attorneys,
yes.
So we're, you know, none of us
I'm
give advice.
I'm not an attorney, but I know that she can, but she has to go by the rules and regulations. Some states will allow it, some states won't. Like with North Carolina, I want to relocate there. I have a 90-day probation period that I have to go through. I will be given a professional guardian, which I'm totally against that. Well, my son will live with me, but still they'll come in my home like a social worker, investigate me and all this stuff. I'm reserving to go to North Carolina because I'm trying to get this litigation completed before I move to North Carolina because, you know, I've had a lot of false allegations made against me with my other son. So I have to clear my name basically so I can move forward because I don't want to go to a guardianship. I want to go to a less restrictive. And they do have less restrictive for people out there that need it. Like me, I want to do like a power of attorney for my other son.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I know that a lot of people are so frightened, you know, because of what's going on with our country. And until you've been there and you've had a son or a parent taken away or a father or somebody, you don't understand how the system works and what can happen. I've been talking to all kinds of people, and it is scary. I mean, we've been going through this for 8 years, you know, and I was fortunate. I got my mom back, but there's many other family members that are not there. And the system seems to be preying upon anybody that has money, and sometimes it doesn't even matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you have special needs. It doesn't matter if you're in your 50s or your 20s, whatever it seems.
Well, the ones that you've just named are all
victims.
All primary targets of the criminal attorney, the individual that looks and says, okay, what I'm after is the money, and what's the most efficient way to get that? Well, they look at people who receive some kind of government benefit. They look at retired military because they usually have a pension that comes with being retired military. That's a decent amount of money. And they look at the elderly because they usually have some retirement set up, and they also become eligible for government programs when those by simply getting to that age. And so the guardian, the prospective guardian or conservator, the attorney that's scoping out this person, will look and say, "What are the assets? What is this person worth?" And the ones with disabilities, the ones they can be high value, the ones that they can put in their own institution and feed them drugs can also be high value because the pharmaceutical companies may be giving kickbacks on all the drugs they give that person, and more than likely are.
Yeah. And so, boy, we got our phones ringing off the hook here. Anyway, it's really sad to see what our country's coming into. I'm gonna ask Kelly. Are you with us?
Yep, I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
I'm good with you. How's it going with you? I mean, you know, what's any good things going on with you? And I know that a lot of people called in to talk to Mary because everybody's been facing the same thing. So if Mary is listening out there, what can you tell her?
I can tell her that I know what it feels like to be afraid. I never knew that your knees could shake. And when I became pro se and had to go up against these corrupt attorneys and the corrupt judges, my knees would shake. I mean, I'd be pouring my coffee. My hands were shaking. My knees were shaking. And I was abused in the court. You know, I would go in there, but I stood my ground. And the tactic that they use is intimidation. And if they can intimidate you, you're going to run away just like everybody else. But because we're all rising up, things are changing. I'm pro se. I got two judges recused. You know, am I any further? I mean, I don't know, but it's keeping me in the race. So I think, you know, they've definitely tried to intimidate me, but we're not going anywhere. You know?
That's now, you're in Collier County, right, also, Florida?
Yep, same court, some of the same. I mean, me and Peggy have basically the same players. We kind of all do.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm so glad you guys have all met up with each other. And I know how powerful it is to get a lot of families in your area, because we're up to like, I think we're in like close to 50 families in Colorado right now. And I know that the more the families that come together, the better it is to stand up in front of legislation and say, look, we've got some serious problems going on. But I see some progress being made after we've been in it for 8 years, but the last couple of years I have seen some progress, actually. You know, how families are coming together, how people are standing up, and they're going pro se lately, because the thing with going pro se is that you don't have attorneys sucking you dry. You know, they're promising you a lot of things, and sometimes we do get some good attorneys out there. Okay, I'm going to say we do run into some good attorneys, and we applaud those good attorneys.
But the good attorneys are under pressure, too. That's something that a lot of people don't realize. It's not the quality of your attorney as much as the quality of the court that attorney has to operate in. And that attorney is putting themselves, if they're actually defending your right to your own property, in other words, making moves that would legally move that out of the court and into your hands, then the court will retaliate against them for taking money away from the court. And they will find that every time they go in front of that judge, it costs them. They're suddenly at the end of the dock instead of somewhere in the beginning or the middle. They're suddenly judge is ruling against them on things that normally it would be a matter of course that he would rule for them or she would rule for them. So these attorneys, even though they may want to do their best, are also got thumb screws on them that say, do I want a career in law or do I want to sacrifice that because of the injustice that I have to defend if I go to these courts? And if you go pro se, there is one thing you can know, and that is that at least the person who is your advocate is for you before the court.
Right. We have another caller, a 941 number. Are you with us out there, 941?
That's me. My name's Kim Campanella. I'm in Charlotte County. It's about 45 minutes to 60 minutes from Collier, but we're all in the same district, 20th district.
Wow.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
It seems like you guys have really come a long way out there.
Mm-hmm.
So did you lose a son out there or you know, a loved one? What happened in your case?
What prompted you to call in?
Yeah.
Well, what prompted me is Peggy actually told me about the show. And I'm on the Facebook page, so I've seen about the shows, never had an opportunity to listen in. I've been fighting for about 8 years, been fighting the predatory guardianship, and it's regarding my mom. And basically, she had advanced directives, and I learned real quick that once your loved one is in a guardianship, it's merely almost impossible to get the loved one and their assets ever out of the guardianship. So what happened towards the end is, you know, I kept rocking the boat, and the guardian went to court and basically took over the trust, removed us as trustees, although there was no wrongdoing found by the judge. They went through $1 million. They took her, kidnapped her. She actually died. And that was about a year and a half ago.
We're so sorry.
Thank you. They hit her the whole nine yards. So when she died in August of 2016, the will said that, you know, the trust ends. So this this guardian who is now the trustee still to this day basically wouldn't turn anything over, was trying to sell the homes. In January, I was able to stop the sale of the homes. I'm on my 10th attorney who was hired for probate. I had an attorney in another state say they were going to do an ADA lawsuit. You know, I keep giving money that I don't have to different attorneys. They say they're going to help me. And the last year or so, or basically in January, I guess it was, I just said, this is too much. I can't fight these people. I've tried for 8 years. It's had a tremendous effect. And, you know, I'm at that point where they want to give us the trust back, but there's absolutely nothing in it except for the two destroyed homes. And they're, you know, wanting us to sign a waiver, which is how the probate attorney will get paid. And they've now sued us because of a past attorney that didn't get paid. And it just goes on and on and on. We're afraid to be in our house. You know, it's not enough. They took our money, then our life, and now they're trying to go after us. And successfully, I guess, because I will not hire another attorney. But it's very scary.
Good for
you.
Don't be
afraid. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Two small children, and, you know, people come to our door and serve us with papers. And, you know, if I could leave the country, I would leave the country. That's how bad it is. And it's just, it's overwhelming because you know what was done. I have clear proof. A couple months ago, I was able to finally get the trust accounting, and it shows where these people, while our mom was on her deathbed, they actually surrendered and cashed in her death insurance and took surrendered half the value. And then the next two checks went to the guardian and her attorney, and then the third check went to the funeral home. And I have the proof. I just don't have, you know, anybody that will take the case on contingency. I'm out of money, and I am not able to do pro se because of medical issues that I have that involve, you know, my brain and my husband as well. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Are you in Collier County too?
No, I'm not in Collier County. I'm two towns away from Collier, but we're in the same 20th district. We're in the same, you know, court district.
Same court.
Haven't heard of anybody in Charlotte County that's willing to speak up. I'm pretty much the only one, and have paid for that.
Are you near Glades County?
No, Glades County's further from me. That's I think in the middle of the state. I am between Fort Myers and Sarasota. So there's Fort Myers south of me, and then Collier County or Naples is right below Lee County.
I see.
Wow, it's amazing that people are connecting down there, down south, and getting together as families, though. You done a great job, Peggy.
Thank you. You've
done a great job. I mean,
and that is so important. I want you all to realize that one of the things that is one thing that you can do is to combine your strengths. If you start to codify all the information that you have of every attorney that was involved, every judge that was involved, every court appearance that was involved, how much money was involved, what happened to the money, and you make lists of all these things and you make up questionnaires that then others can answer the same kind of questions. And then you collate the data with lots of families.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Then this is how you develop a group that you're able to go and represent and say, we have a lot of members. We have a lot of proof. We have a lot of evidence. When you do talk to someone, now, having that and being able to be heard doesn't seem like it does very much for a long time. Because we are face us, and we've been doing that, and we have the data on almost 50 families now, and we have presented our collated data before senators, before the attorney general,
judicial performance commissioners,
judicial performance commissioners,
Supreme Court.
Yes,
we've done it all out here in Colorado.
FBI and it may be that there are. We believe that there are ongoing investigations through the FBI, but they move very slowly and they're very meticulous. So we won't know for some time whether they're just blowing smoke up our
whatever,
yeah. Or they're actually doing something. We pray and hope that they're doing something. But it never would have happened if we didn't have a group of people working. And the fact that we were able to organize things like anonymous protests where everyone wore masks, but we brought the truth out and let it be known that there were that there was corruption in our court, we believe that it was these activities that caused to the caused the resignation of a judge last year. And also, I think this whole cumulative effect of this is what caused the early resignation of the Colorado head of the Supreme Court, Nancy Rice.
Yes. Yes, Nancy Rice is stepping down, and I do think our protests were out there. The talk in front of the Judicial Performance Commission is like we went to 10 other meetings. At least
talk to the Supreme Court.
And we've got another meeting on the 15th we're going to up in Boulder, because there's four judges coming up for retention that we're going to go back and we're going
to talk
about.
So the thing that allowed us to speak in all these venues was the fact that it wasn't just an individual, it was a group. And if you are interested, we can get you the questionnaires that we used, and those families that you have can start to gather data.
Right.
And once you have the data, then it does give you, it's like having a megaphone all of a sudden.
Right.
You go before
you
these
do.
People and it's just you and your family.
Right.
They'll dismiss you with a wave of their hand.
Yet another really effective thing I have found to do is I put all these cases on a poster board. And I've got front and back covered with these cases. So when I go in front of legislation, I say, you know, we've got a problem. See this? Because people are visual. They look at that, and we even had the FBI look at that, and they looked at that. They took pictures of it. So I think that is a helpful tool. I really do.
Right. One of the things that shows is we color-coded it according to who the major offenders were.
Right.
So they could see at a glance that they're involved in all of these cases.
Right.
Every single case has this player, and this player.
And we color-coded them. But anyway, this show tonight, we were going to be talking to Mary. Now, I've reached out to Mary. I put the whole show together for Mary. But somehow, Mary has not responded. But I have other callers that do want to call in. Our board is completely full. I'm going to leave Kelly's phone line open, Kim's, Marcy's, and Peggy's line open. We're going to bring in, a 239 number. See who this one is. 239.
So if there is noise on your line, do mute your own phone.
All right, we have another 239 number on.
Yeah,
You're on, would be me.
How are you?
How are you?
Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you so much.
Hi. So
shall we call you?
You can remain anonymous if you'd like.
Okay, that would be good just right now.
Okay, that sounds good. So I'll put A for you, A for Apple.
Right.
So welcome to the show. So we were going to try to get Mary back on the line with us. I think she might be frightened. What would you tell Mary right now if she was actually on with us? Because she didn't call into the show, and I know how frightened people can be of this. It is frightening. What would you say?
I would tell her that everyone has to come forward. We can anything single-handedly. But as a group, we can band together and we can make the corruption known throughout this county and throughout the state and throughout America, because it's been going on, and I only know of it firsthand because of the situation with my 87-year-old father. But we've got to stop it, and we've got to warn other people and other seniors about what's going on, because it can happen in a blink of an eye, because that's what happened to my family.
It sure can.
Right. And when we appreciate everybody that comes on to our shows. We've also been doing shows with Marty Oakley on Monday nights. We've been working with her shows in correspondence to the hospice with Carly Walden and Tanya Hathaway. She's a justice in Oklahoma, exposure of Oklahoma. And we've also been working a little bit with the whistleblowers. So we've been really combining all of our efforts, also with Brian Pinter. He's with Judicial Accountability Movement, JAM, and Randall Stone. So we've been really bringing our forces together and getting as many people as we can hooked up to start standing up. Wear a mask if you have to. That's what we did. I did that for like how many times?
I'm not at liberty to say. I can tell you.
But I wore a mask. My sisters wore a mask. My family wore a mask. even into, you know, into legislation, we wore masks because we know how frightening it is. So, Mary, if you are listening, it is a scary situation we are facing.
And
you know,
the thing is, you don't know who to trust. You know,
exactly.
Some attorneys say they're good and this and that, but it's really scary because you really don't know who to trust. And again, all your counties are very small counties. I've been here for 14 years, but again, we've got to do something about this. We've got to stop it. And we can if more victims come forward. They have to listen to us, or someone
right.
has to.
Right.
Well,
so
I think.
Marcy?
I'm sorry.
Is this
yeah,
you, Marcy?
Yes.
Okay, Marcy, I want to introduce you first. You're another host that comes in with. You're another host that has been helping us with their shows. You live in Florida also.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I just want to let our listeners know. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Who's talking now?
Yeah, go ahead, Marcy.
Okay. I was going to say that, yes, I agree that everybody needs to come forward and together, and I agree that it is very frightening to go in front of a judge pro se. I have gone twice now, but every time I go, I also see that they're a little afraid because when we are going pro se and we are there for protecting our loved one, our parents, our children, there's something to be said about that. These people that are in the bench and they are attorney, they're people just like you and me. What I see, the only thing that makes a difference is that they have more knowledge of the law that makes them more powerful, but also they must remember that they are officers of the law and they are officers of the courts. So when there's isolation, abuse, negligence, medical negligence, and all the things, they have to be also careful because they can be breaking the law. I don't care if they're attorneys. I don't care if they're judges. So therefore, when you look at the law of the American Disability Act and what these courts are supposed to be going by, when you have a mentally incapacitated person, and I'm not just talking about my situation, anybody who is mentally incapacitated has a legal right. And it is abusive for anyone to continue to people, these elderly, these children of you guys, up there when they are incognitively impaired. And
right.
So when I go to court the next time,
uh-huh.
I'm not going to be afraid anymore, and neither should any of you, because you are standing up for the vulnerable. And that
yeah.
is being an officer of the world. Okay,
absolutely.
And including the courts. So don't be
yeah.
afraid.
The thing
God.
Is though, just
right.
just the ex parte filing, and then the judge approves it. Nothing is substantiated. My sister filed a petition to determine my father incapacitated. She made up false claims that were all lies. The judge looked at it, and yeah, on paper it looked pretty bad, but he did no investigation. No one came out to see my father to say, oh, he's okay. You know, everything was pushed through, and then once you're in the wheel, the guardianship wheel, that's it. 6 months of hell, $70,000 later, we're finally breathing. But it has been a nightmare. So the ex parte emergency guardians, it's just, that is criminal. to begin with. No one tells you that from the minute the guardian calls you, you are being charged for a text message, for a phone call. I mean, my dad had an emergency guardian for a week. It cost him $4,000.
Yeah. It's stealing from the elderly.
It's fraud. It's elder abuse and fraud.
Exactly. And it's just all, everybody has a dollar value put on them, and it's sad to see this happening in our country. You know,
because it wouldn't have happened to my father if he had $100 in his bank account. This never would have happened if he was poor.
You know, yeah. You know, when the sad thing about that is I've even seen poor families get taken into nursing homes because some of these nursing homes profit, you know, up to $15,000, $20,000 a month. I've even seen that happen, and it's like, how this be going on? You know, it's like nobody is safe anymore.
Well, one of the things we were talking about the other night on another radio show
was the
fact
radio
that they are now guardianizing homeless people.
Homeless people.
They want to do the kindness of making sure that these homeless people have a place where they can get a good meal and a nice warm bed.
Right.
And so they
right,
guardianize
protect them.
Right.
Yeah, this yeah.
We are just talking
about
the nursing homes making a profit.
They are rounded up, guardianized.
Can I ask you guys from Colorado, when you did this survey, how many had an issue with Medicaid, Medicare, insurance fraud, false claim billing? Because over here in Florida, you know, we're Governor Scott,
exactly.
He was, before he became governor, you know, the hospital he ran, $1.7 billion was paid for Medicare fraud. I mean, we literally have a criminal running our state. And there's, you know, I'm poor. My children are on Medicaid, and there's false claim billing in my case, you know, and they are exploiting the poor. They're exploiting the poor just as much as they are the rich, you know.
Right. In Colorado, many of these families, we have found out, we have 40 families involved, and out of 28 families, there's $62 million gone, okay, from these families. That's what we estimate. Over $62 million. I did a whole synopsis of all our families here so I could tell legislators, we've got a problem. $58 million went through probate courts, and it took $6 million of that money that was originally their property to fight for these attorneys. So with $62 million altogether, every one of those families, except for maybe a few, there's 10 families that got back $5,000. Okay, that's not much out of $62 million.
It's nothing.
But
$5 million.
It was $5 million. But I'm telling you right now, the thing about that is every one of these families had enough money to take care of themselves. They didn't have to go to Medicaid. They didn't have to have the state paying for them like my mother now. My mom, my family had plenty of money. Okay, we have five properties paid for worth millions. Today they would have been worth millions of dollars. Today we have nothing. It's gone, okay? But
I mean,
my father
was someone who has property and a fair amount of riches, whatever, that their retirement they've built up, that they've been saving for, their children's college funds, and they will take all of that away.
It was their money, no one else's.
They'll take their money, reduce it to nothing, force them onto welfare and government assistance and Medicare and Medicaid and then collect the checks for those things while they warehouse the individual until they kill them.
And not only that, but then that Social Security money that they make goes to pay for the nursing home. You know,
pay that nursing home.
The trustees and the guardians live off trust money. See, and that's what happens, and it's sad to see. Someone's making a lot of noise. Busy, can you please put your phone on mute? Because it gives a lot of static in the back. Thank you. Okay, so we have
I wanted to just make a comment, if I could.
Okay,
this is Kim from Port Charlotte, in case anyone else has run across this. Because you spoke of hospice and the nursing home. In our case, we had petitioned the court at first. We didn't understand this, to get a guardianship just for the protection of us and our mom. And what happened is it was a limited guardianship. And what happened is the guardian, without the authority to do so, placed her in a nursing home that was a skilled facility that it was around $12,000 a month. And prior to that, we had her in an ALF. So it turned out that the guardian had relationships with this nursing home, so they were getting paid. And what happened is they prevented us, they tried to bully us from not letting her leave. So we tried to bring in other facilities to evaluate her, and she was a level one patient, but they had her in a skilled institution as a level three. We finally went there on Mother's Day and with the paperwork that said the guardian didn't have authority to place her there in the first place, and we took her out of there. The facility called the police. The police came, and the police said, listen, the family has authority to take her out of here. So we were successful in that, but that's when the next month they went to court and took away all our powers because, you know, we had done that. So it turned out that the employees in the nursing home validated that she was not a skilled care, she didn't fit skilled care criteria, and she wasn't getting her services. And so it ended up being a big, huge Medicaid fraud scheme where they were taking our mom, who we were doing self-pay in a facility for $2,000 a month out of her assets, and then they medically kidnapped her, I guess, and put her in this institution, and we took her out. But I guess this goes on and on. But I was wondering if that's happened to anybody else. And at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter because they were able to get full guardianship. But you can see where somebody that's naive like us, that's being told you need to protect her and yourself with a limited guardianship, and so we do that, and then all of a sudden it turns into a full guardianship, and then the nursing home's involved, and, you know, that type of thing.
That's
so very rampant.
My dad's, she's out of Punta Gorda. And, I mean, she's
that's
a crook.
Right next door to me. Wow.
In a lot of ways. And my dad would tell her, I want to stay with my daughter and my grandsons. I love it there. And she was adamant that he go into an assisted living facility, that he had enough money for it, and it would be the best thing for him, and we would revisit it
in
a few months.
That's interesting. Because our guardians come from the Gorda. It's probably the same guardian. Because our guardian and the attorneys are from. It's a woman. And I go to the Punta Gorda courthouse.
Let me ask you something. Can I interrupt? What's the first initial of her last name?
She goes by two names. That it could be M.
No, then it's not. My dad's attorney was with a K. But needless to say,
not attorney. I'm talking about the actual guardian. The attorney is S.
No, it's a different one. But my dad's attorney, she would come and visit him here in Naples. It's an hour and a half drive from Punta Gorda. And she would charge him for travel time, stay with him 20 minutes. And on her invoice, it would be $1,200, which is illegal.
Gosh,
It begins with a K? It begins with a K? It begins with a K?
Yes, it does, yeah. And
I know who it is. That's one of the attorneys also, and it's a woman that begins with a K, and her first name begins with a P.
Yes, that's exactly who it is. Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the attorneys. I'm getting sued from her, by her, and
she is a crook.
I was told about 7 years ago from another attorney that took all our money, that attorney that you're speaking of, would and does sue people over watch batteries in Punta Gorda at the courthouse. So be careful. But
what does she do? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last.
The attorneys all know her as she's the one that's going to bring clients to court to sue over a watch battery. She's the worst, and I've had her. Yeah.
Basically,
it's basically saying she's going to sue over anything she can.
Anything.
She's very
anything.
Greedy. Yeah.
Well, like my attorney sent her an email asking her if she charged for travel time. She said, yes, I do, and it's never been a problem. Well, if that's the case, why didn't she tell her father that she was charging him for travel time, and why isn't it listed despises it as time with clients. And I'll tell you something, it is absolutely insane. But you know what? As I said before, I don't look for battles in my life, but when I'm presented with one that I know I'm right, I will go full force and fight my dad and for everyone.
Are you brand new in this? Are you brand new in the guardianship, or has it been going on a long time?
No. It's been 6 months of hell. My father,
you're
my two young
spot.
We have been killed all by my sister's greed. It was never about my dad's health or well-being. To get us out of the emergency guardianship, I had to sign an agreement that my dad would have caregivers at the house. He is perfectly mobile. There is nothing wrong with him, but
it's the court. And I was just saying on the call, I wish there was someone from Charlotte County that would, you know, that I knew. So now I found one because you're in my county.
So if anybody's listening, we have a full board of callers in. If anybody is from Charlotte County, raise your hand. All you have to do is call in, and the number is 845-241-9962, 845-241-9962. Make sure you press that 1, and your hand will be raised. We'll get you into the studio. And we've got a full board, so which is really good. And the show tonight,
and I'm so happy to be here.
Mary on. We were trying to get Mary on. Let me see here. Here's a caller here. Let's see who this one is. 520, you're on the air.
That's Chris.
520.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
That's Chris.
I'm here.
Pardon?
I'm pretty active in litigation right now, so I'm maybe kind of
Are you in the same state in Florida?
Yes, I'm in the Punta Gorda area.
Yeah, okay. Another Punta Gorda.
Florida?
Yes, I'm in Punta Gorda, and I tried to protect my father, who had always directors. I was his DPO. Your surrogate, as my father's own attorney, was not honest with the court. A brother who is greedy and sexy of my father was caught misappropriating trust assets, threatening beneficiaries who questioned him, and my father asked him to step down as trustee of all trusts, give an accounting, or if he didn't do so within 30 days, he would be disinherited as predeceased along with all his children. He immediately flew in with his complicit daughter, and they declared my competent father incapacitated and threw him into an unnecessary guardianship down in Collier County under Judge Brody.
So you're actually from Collier County too?
My father lived in Collier County, but he was competent enough to make an executive decision to protect his trust and remove the trustee from his trust. We then my father's co-trustee of his trust. I was also DPOA healthcare surrogate and DPOA financial. The court totally ignored all my father's advance directives. We had a cognitive trained MD testify in court that my father was competent to live on his own as he had planned, with the assistance of his daughter who up and relocated from Arizona to Florida to assist him since he decided to no longer drive. The reason he chose to no longer drive was he had fractured his back and was on Vicodin and knew that he should not be behind the wheel while on Vicodin. So my father was competent. At 90 years of age, they asked him a simple question. How much is 157 times 57? And he had the answer in less than a second. and they threw this man into an abusive guardianship. The guardian took everything he owned. He died a year ago, only owning a walker. He told me on my last visit, he said, "Everything I worked for my entire life and sacrificed for has been stolen by that guardian and that son."
Who is a guardian?
Well, I know the attorney begins with a K, KK.
Is it Keller?
Kemp.
I'm sorry?
Ken Kemp and Sheila D'Antoni was the guardian. And before that was Jill Brzezinski and Wendy Wells.
My sister's first attorney was Jill Brzezinski.
And she did not do
a lot of people. Yeah. Many victims have her.
You guys fading in and out.
Here, hold on a minute. Let me take it off its feet. In a problem. My father had a lawsuit, and the guardians allowed it to be dismissed. They were responsible to go after the trustee, ask for an accounting. In 4 years, we have not had a deposition. We have not had discovery. The judge doesn't compel him to do anything, none of the judges. They're all working complicit with the thieving trustee and the guardian and their attorneys while attacking the daughter and the son and the son-in-law who took care of their father.
They turn it around. I'm so sorry.
The day that I called Cock Brzezinski and Wendy Wells and not paying any of my dad's bills, I was paying out $66,000 while they were taking $87,000 to pay themselves. They had my father's Social Security checks. She got caught, actually, for Social Security fraud, but nothing happened to her. Because a New Jersey Social Security person caught it and reported it. But all they have to do is say, "Oh, don't worry, I'll just move the money over to the new guardian," and they cover everything up that they do.
And
illegal.
they all act like they're for the protection of the elderly. They're elder lawyers. You know, you think they're good, but they're all
they're elder abusers.
Right, they're thieves. They're thieves, and my dad is frugal to a fault.
So is my father. He was World War II frugal. He used his Social Security to pay his bill every month and just was trying to save his trust for his children. And
that's it.
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody that's the problem that we have nowadays is that the people that have trusts and wills really do believe that it's going to pass down to their children, not in these
intergenerationally.
You know, my parents thought the same thing with our $5 million estate. We thought that would be handed down for my homeless brother, which is probably going to be on next week. We're going to put him onto the show to talk about how it feels to be homeless. And it's not a pretty sight. I mean, we had all the property.
I am working. That's what's going to happen to me. I'm going to end up on the street with a disabled veteran who served his country honorably because my brother told me when I discovered that he was doing misappropriation of my father's assets, he called me and threatened me in the most vicious, profanity-filled threat and told me that he would bury me, destroy me, take my house, my home, everything I worked for,
And that is what's happening. 11 corrupt attorneys down in Naples, Florida, do not hire any attorney in Naples, Florida.
Fort
Myers.
That's where, well, I wish I knew exactly who they were, but it's true. All of them are corrupt.
Email me, I'll
from
tell
what I
you.
Right.
We'll connect somehow. But, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong with the news down here? Why aren't they covering this? Because somehow they're told not to.
I think a lot of it's run by our politicians, and I think it's a lot of it's run by a lot of these attorneys. They might have big investors that own the media, you know, because we had Channel 4 News covering it, and they would not allow our stories to go open onto the air. We had Channel 4 come out, Channel 31. Stopped us from doing it.
I
they
have to say,
Naples,
Florida is a cabal. It's a cabal, run. I believe they moved everybody from Naples, Italy, over to Naples, Florida. It's a cabal, and they're all connected.
And they really, really are.
Can we talk about
I can tell you what happened.
I'm not Peggy, can you? Peggy, can you explain how the lawsuit works against the legislative bill, please? Because I don't fully understand that.
Which one?
I was wondering if Peggy or someone could explain how the suing the Florida legislature, how that works, because
Peggy,
I'm new to this.
Yeah. The Florida legislation claim bill process, Kim, is where you sue the state or a federal employee, which I'm suing the judges in Collier County. And so I'm halfway through the process. I'm in the middle of petitioning Congress to waive immunity so these people can be held on criminal charges. So basically, you file a publication to the newspaper. You connect with your senator and your delegate that your intentions is to file. And then once you do that, you start doing your summons, and then you have to decide, you know, they're going to try to get you in the middle district, but your goal is to stay in the Supreme Court because they know once they do that 21 days, oh, yeah, we're going to give you that hearing, but they're going to put you in the appellate, and then they're going to eat you alive if you are not knowledgeable of the law. The goal is to stay strong, be callous, learn as much as you can about the law, get as strong as they are. That's the only way you're going to survive for the legislation.
But don't judges, I thought judges had immunity. Is that not correct?
No, that's not correct. You can get them on statutory waiver. You have to go through Congress. I'm in the process of doing mine and Karen's and Betty's now. If I can provide enough evidence to them to show that they did go outside of their code of judicial ethics, they will be held accountable. I went through the judicial qualification, and they said they did find fraud, that if I can get to the Supreme Court, they will be held accountable. They will be charged criminal charges. If I can get there, I'm halfway there.
Good for you.
So what happens if you're not able to do a summons, though? Is there not any attorney in this whole country that can help people like us? Because obviously there comes a point after 11 attorneys where you just can't afford to hire them anymore, nor would you want to, because they've all been in bed with each other and infectious relationships, stealing the estate. So hiring a lawyer is not an option, but is there not one attorney out there that could help us? Because I'm not capable of writing a summons. And frankly, between the Medicaid fraud, the illegal guardianship, the changing the paperwork, the putting our mom in hospice forcibly, watching her die, there's too many facts and too many things that they did, and they did it very they were great at what they did because they confused us so much. We don't even understand the story at this point. But if you can't write a summons, you know, then what?
I'm 4 years into this and I'm discovering things.
I need to get in one of our groups because we do have people that know how to write the summons. I can do one. Kelly DeSalt can do one. She's both as knowledgeable as I am. So you need to get a hold of one of us that's able to do it and help you. But you need to get the legislation because numbers count. The stronger we build army, we can defeat these people. But if one or two people are just doing it, we're not going to be able to bring this criminal corruption down.
So don't
yes.
be scared. It is intimidated, but you have to stand up or you're going to let these criminals get by making your family a victim. My son was institutionalized. He never committed a crime. He never did anything. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I'm the only one out there advocating. And trust me, I have these people on pins and needles right now because they know I won't back down. I'm just as smart as they are, and they know they have problems now. I will continue finding victims in Collier County. I will build.
Fantastic.
Because right now I'm in the process of going to the Homeland Security. I've been in touch with them. I'm working with the second group to get through the legislation claim bill. I advise you to get on board because it's going to cost you a little bit of money, a few hundred dollars, but it's worth it. It's better than a few
right.
thousands and thousands. I've already lost
and
over $100,000 in litigation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that
anymore. Is it suing just the judges? Is it suing just the judges, or are we also?
I've got two lawsuits going. I've got the Florida legislation claim bill, and I've got the Supreme Court that we're working on, me, Karen, and Betty. Kelly and a few others are trying to go to the second group through legislation. I'm trying to keep them going. I'm going to be having classes. I'm going to be teaching. And it's free. I'm not charging.
Okay.
Yeah, I can help
you. I want your classes because I'll probably
Peggy,
need them.
Peggy, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, everybody in that group has my number.
I can give people – I have her number. So if anybody wants to contact me on Facebook – or at our site, it's info@faceus.org, or you can contact Luann, Luanne, @faceus.org, or you can find me on Facebook, Luann Fleming. You can find me on Facebook, or you can reach our site on Facebook. It's Families Against Court Embezzlement, Unethical Standards, Face Us, or you can reach Robin Austin. He's also on Facebook. And we can go ahead and get you out any phone numbers that you want of all the callers that have called in. I just wrote them all down. So if anybody
and
knows
I
anyone,
wanted to
I'm
tell
so
you.
Grateful to be here.
I am so grateful to speak to other people
in the same situation.
I went
to the state attorney's office. And I was shut down by the state attorney's office by my own attorney.
Hold
on, let me block out some numbers.
Who's got Pam Keller? Pam, what's going on?
Yeah, one of the women here have Pam Keller.
Say that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was telling my husband that one of the attorneys.
Yes. Yeah.
In Charlotte
She's
County,
something.
By the last name of Kay. Yeah, that's
Keller.
One attorney that's suing us, and we were told to become personal representatives of the estate so we could sue, you know, for the death
mm-hmm.
of our mom. And then
right.
this attorney in another state that took our money said, yes, we're going to connect you to a probate attorney that's going to name you as personal representative. So my husband and I became personal representatives about a year ago, and there's absolutely no money because the guardian, the de facto guardian, became trustee, and even though she was legally guardian for 1 month because our mom died, she won't relinquish her trustee role. So,
wow.
I mean, it's just
that must
crazy.
Drive you crazy. Oh, my
oh, yeah.
Goodness.
They took the houses and said we're going to jail if we go by the house. We tried to go in the house to get our mom clothes for her burial. You know, she didn't have clothes. They forced her into hospice. The attorney in Punta Gorda said if they're found walking on that property, we're going to put them in jail.
And
we're getting clothes to bury her after they killed her.
Personally, that is
and
one
that's
reason
exactly what
why
they
we
did.
Do these shows is because it tremendously pisses us off when stuff like this happens. You know, I'm
yeah.
just going to tell you straight out.
Every star for
what
three
is, okay?
weeks, they told us when they kidnapped her up in Bradenton, where my husband and I had put her after the police helped facilitate the release of her in the institution. We brought her to Bradenton, and when the guardian kidnapped her in the middle of the night, she stroked out. And in Bradenton, she was across the street from the best stroke center in the state of Florida. The guardian hid her in an adult daycare, so a group home, instead of the skilled institution care that she claimed she needed. And instead of bringing her to a stroke center to be evaluated, they left her in the local small town Port Charlotte heart wing for cardiac rehab. And then made a decision to put her in hospice where we had to watch daily. Our mom died and our young children as well. This is after. Advanced directives. Thank you. We have the durable power of attorney. We had the healthcare surrogate. We had everything.
Everything you read about guardianship says, you know, if you have durable, you know, power of attorney, you're going to be safe. It is complete fallacy because it's not true. It is not true. You know, guardianship should be the last option. There should be another alternative. Well, they look for the guardianship because everyone is in cahoots. They're all connected.
And then
the lawyers
are representing. The judge didn't acknowledge any of the advance directives. And when they removed us as trustees, it was myself, my husband, and a third brother up north. And the judge said, I don't find any wrongdoing in them being trustees, but the guardian has more experience to be a trustee. So we're going to remove them as trustee. And the third brother never got notified. Yep. To be a guardian, not a trustee. And we're business owners, foster parents.
Same thing happens to us.
You know?
Tell you what happened to us.
40-hour class.
They took away my sisters as the trustees, and they put in their own guardians. So I know exactly how that works. Hey, we've got another caller that's been waiting patiently. I'm keeping everyone's mics open. Please try not to talk over anybody, okay? We've got nine callers on with us right now, and Peggy, that's quite a bit of people coming out finally from Colorado County. 714.
You're on air. Hello.
714.
Hi, it's Karen Federici.
Karen.
I'm calling from California.
Karen, oh my God, you guys got such an army out there now.
Yeah.
No?
I just want to let the audience know that it's extremely important not to be intimidated by the threats of being jailed or being sued or any kind of retaliation. On purpose. To intimidate you. As many of you know, I'm not even elderly. I was an employed nurse when I was kidnapped in 2016. Long story short, I had to literally flee Florida to save my life. A philanthropist wired me money, but I escaped by myself. And it took $1 million to free me from my fraudulent and illegal guardianship. Thousands of dollars of my own money was spent by the court to try to shut down my social media. They did that to my Facebook account times in a year. I just got it back up going again. Don't be intimidated. I had an arrest warrant out for me for a year with a writ of body attachment. And
we know your case very well, Karen.
Yeah.
We know your case very well. We've been following it for like 2 years.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for that. And the only thing that kept me alive, I'm 100% convinced, is being extremely vocal, telling my story, telling my full name, and because that's how other Collier County victims found me. That's how Peggy Dupre found me. That's how Kelly found me. It's really important that we all stick together and keep talking about this, and not just talking about it, but doing something about it. If we all attack Collier County with these claim bills, and we're gonna get justice eventually. I'm convinced of that.
I am too.
But we have to keep going full speed ahead with this. I'm not giving up. Collier County totally trashed my life, and now Cook County, Illinois is going after me legally. I'm praying that I don't end up homeless. I don't even know where my money's going to come from now. I can't afford anything. because of the neglect from Collier, I currently am injured from torn tendons that weren't fixed when they should have been. But anyway, nothing is, what I'm trying to point out is nothing is going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop me from trying to sue these people and hold them accountable.
Wow.
Well, because what's going on is a crime.
That's very well said. Like I said, to all of our listeners, we followed Karen Federici's story around for at least 2 years. Karen and I have talked in privacy. We've done it. I tell you, there were some times when I thought Karen was just going to just end her life at times, because I'm like, Karen, you got to hang in there. You know, things will get better. And this went on for like 2 years, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I've been viciously attacked by guardians for 4 years now. Four years.
8 years. Terrible.
I believe it. I would never end my life, but one thing I do know for certain is that probate guardianship is a fate worse than death. It's pure torture 24/7. And,
yes,
and
it
I've
is.
Been certain, I've been technically free from from guardianship since the ad ran out in the paper. October of 2017, it took a month afterwards for Judge Shanko, and I'm not afraid of saying his name, Judge James
that's my,
Shanko.
That was the judge
my,
for my father.
That's my judge, too.
Yeah, that's my dad,
Judge. Judge signed my papers, my guardianship papers, behind my back. I didn't even know I was legally, civilly dead till a week later.
Right.
But... even
wow.
when you're, and I've been free now technically for 6 months, and my life is I have my civil rights back and everything, but my life is still a living hell with the litigation and with lawyers in Illinois now stealing my money. I have it's an unknown amount, but there's hundreds of thousands of dollars I'm entitled to, and the greedy court won't turn it over to me.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just
so you
total
know,
total identity theft. When it will start happening more and more to younger people like me, because
I believe that. I believe that also.
Cannot
take it. Can get away with it.
I warn everybody that I meet that we're all victims.
Yeah, and
that
Karen,
we can all
so
become
you know,
victims.
Karen,
right.
Just so you know, when this happened to my dad with, you know, the emergency guardian, and I looked, you know, I Googled it, you were the first person that I saw. And I listened and watched your video, and you really gave me strength because you have stood up for yourself. And you really gave me a reason not to give in, because I wasn't going to get an attorney. I was just going to sit back, and I saw your videos, and I said, you know what? I am going to stand up for my dad. So just know, you might not be speaking to everyone that you've helped, but you are helping more people than you even know here
well,
in Collier
thank
County.
You. But it's
yeah,
really
and-
important for all of us to be vocal so that, you know, they try to erase all of our lives, our loved ones' lives, the family that's advocating for them. They try to erase us from the Internet. They steal our identity, just trash our credit rating, just ruin our lives in every way possible. And we can't let them erase our lives. And
right.
So when my Facebook account or whatever would be disabled, I start it up again. And
because no,
they
you've
actually,
done nothing wrong.
Right.
You know,
you know what?
Nothing
and that's
tells
done
you.
Anything wrong.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly right.
You're getting a cease and desist. So I'm like, what for? I committed no crime. You cease and desist with your crime. Yeah.
Right.
I refuse.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
So Karen, can I ask a question? We've got about 15 minutes left of the show, and we actually were doing a story tonight on Mary, who was trying to get her son
back. He's up in New Jersey, and I think she was frightened to call into the show. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. But what would you say to Mary, you know, in case she is listening, about hanging in there and being strong and no matter what it takes to get your son back, what encouragement would you give her?
Okay, what kept me going, what kept me fighting, what kept me from being afraid is the community of friends I found on Facebook with Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship, your group FACES, CASEM Cares, just banding together with other victims and advocates. So you have somebody to talk to. Just beware that the courts do monitor our Facebook accounts and our Facebook Messenger accounts that
you
think are private
are
not. Be aware of that, but don't let the abusers win. The court will try to do anything to intimidate, scare you, threaten you with arrest. Don't let them scare you. Remember that you're better than they are. They're the crooks. They're the ones that are wrong. Don't let the abusers win.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
it. Again, I say be as public and vocal as possible on social media. Don't be afraid to use your real name. Don't be afraid. I noticed a lot of victims and families. I did this for a real long time too. I wouldn't put my profile picture out there, and that just sends. You know, I'm sure the crooked court members love to see somebody hiding their face or not given their real name or their last name or whatever. Don't let these evil people win.
That's well said, Karen. And you know what? We stand by you. We still do. And I'm glad that you're still being very vocal out there, you know. And if it wasn't for you speaking up and going on to YouTube and letting them know that you're a captive, you would have never been able to get out of the situation, you know.
No,
the
philanthropist who saved my life would have never heard about me or, you know, my story if it weren't for social media and Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah, we applaud them for doing that for you, too. We really do. Anybody that comes and helps out any of these families, we applaud you. We really do, because it takes a lot of courage to come forward to do stuff like that. It really does.
But it shouldn't take $1 million to save somebody's life. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
O.J. Simpson, any terrorist, any murderer is treated, you know, has more rights than somebody in guardianship.
Exactly.
Sadly, that's true.
Sadly, it's true. It's horrifying. Oh, my gosh. Well, thanks, Karen. We appreciate you calling in. I'm going to actually go back to each and every caller and ask them, what would you tell them? Because Mary was supposed to be on the show with us tonight, and I know she's running freight. I don't blame her. But I'm just going to go to every one of them and just say, what would you say to Mary right now? And it's important that she hears us, so maybe she'll come back on one day when she feels she can. But there's many of mothers out there, there's many of people out there that are having problems of their children that are into guardianship, their mothers, their dads. It's so horrifying. But we're gonna actually start out with Kelly. Kelly, are you still with us? Hold on. Kelly, are you still with
us? Yep, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. What would you
think,
to Mary?
I think I would go back to the story of David, and I think that God is raising up modern day Davids, you know, to fight this battle, and you know, He's going to take people like us, you know, people that the world has said, oh, they'll never win. You know, David was small; he should never have been able to slay the giant, but he did. But he had confidence. You know, we have to stand with confidence. Because they want to intimidate us, they want us to live in a state of fear, and you know we can't let them, you know, bring that kind of fear to us, you know. And it's taken a lot for me to get where I am, And, you know, I don't know if everybody knows, but they legally murdered my children. My children are deceased 14 times on court docket, you know, and that's how they stole their assets. And my these are kids, you know, and right. they've hid dockets, you know, they're missing. I mean, it's just what they're doing is totally illegal, and they're criminals.
Right.
And they know it,
right.
and they are scared, or they wouldn't be recusing themselves. So we do have to take this opportunity, and we all, you know, we're all here tonight. We need to get together and go forward, you know,
right.
with this claim bill. I really think we need to do it, you know, and I thank
yeah.
Peggy for starting it because I think
tell
it's
you
necessary.
What, Peggy's a lot further than she was, you know, I think when she contacted me at least 6 months ago, I'm thinking. But I tell you what, she's come a long way. All you guys have come a long way. I'm really glad that we've been able to get a lot of you together, you know. And we're going to keep doing radio shows. We're going to keep bringing people on to keep talking about this, how important it is to speak out, you know. So thank you, Kelly, for coming on. We really appreciate it. We're with you. God, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on. Kim, are you with us, Kim?
I am. Well, you have to remember for us, we've kind of taken a break for the last few months because a lot of things going on, and I'm kind of needing to hear this, what you're telling Mary, because I'm Mary. I am petrified, terrified. My husband is also. I'm not going to go through all the details of retaliation because you guys know it too well, but we're scared to death. My husband and I don't even want to be in our homes because we're afraid of what's going to come at the door next. So I'm trying to find strength in everybody, and so I'm the Mary as well. If Mary's not here because she's frightened, I'm also extremely frightened. Although we're in the 20th district as well, like Collier, we're in a very tiny, good old boy network type town. And people like us that speak the truth, they silence us in any way that they need to do that. So I'm just going to try and find strength and already have in your messages to Mary. So I'll sit back. And I just got to be honest about where I am. I'm extremely scared, and they did intimidate me. And through your messages, we will find strength, hopefully, to keep going. But it's been 8 of the longest years in my husband's life. And our children have been traumatized. We've been traumatized. My husband, from witnessing his mom and all that, and me, we've had... He diagnosed with PTSD. I mean, it really takes an effect, and basically it's the price you're going to want to pay. And it's hard for me to sit back. It's hard for him to sit back. But on the same token, we can't go to jail. We have small children with very special needs, so we have to be around. So it's very, we're treading lightly. And I appreciate the words of wisdom and words of, you know, hope that you all are sharing. So,
right. Gosh, my heart just breaks for everybody on this show. It really does. I'm glad you came on to the show.
Thank you for
Thank
sharing
you.
That. You are one of so many, and I know that just the fact that you called in tonight is
mm-hmm.
an act of courage that
yeah.
is not easy to muster.
Right.
So
but,
we have
right.
faith in you and in your spirit and believe that with God's help, we will find a way to end this kind of thing before it claims any more victims and
right.
hopefully before it does any more damage.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
we're going to get to Marcy. Yeah, thank you. Marcy, what's your closing statement to Mary? Are you still with us, Mary? Marcy? Marcy might have fallen asleep. Okay, let's go down to the anonymous person that called in. How about you?
So I will no longer be anonymous. My name is Hillary Hogue, and I am here in the 20th Circuit Court District. And I'll just say thank you, everyone, for
being here, and it's really been cathartic and helped me, because people think you're crazy when you tell them what's going on. No one believes it could be happening in America, but it is, and we've got to stop it. We've got to get together, and we've got to make it known, and yes, we will be the ones that will end the crimes that are being committed on innocent people. Innocent.
Right.
My dad is 87 years old. He's not committing a crime. Nothing, but he's a wreck. His dignity, everything's been taken away from him, and he's done nothing wrong, and these people have to pay. And
right.
I am standing proud for all of you. So thanks again for listening to me and being here, and I can't wait to meet you guys.
Yes,
I'm
going to hook it up with Peggy, or I'm going to get a hold of Peggy. We're going to meet up with her sometime. And I'll keep you all. Oh, you still there, Marcy?
Yeah, it was under mute, so I'd be glad to add to it when you're ready.
Go ahead,
Marcy. Thank you.
Yes.
Calling in, Hillary.
Yes. Here, it's not an option. I agree in the conversation that God has picked his warriors. And it continues to grow. Abuse, one person being abused is one too many. I think that we need to continue to stand together, because we'll be stronger. Intimidation, yesterday I went to see my mom. I drove 4 hours, 2 hours up, 2 hours back. We decided to meet at the Burger King because where she's staying is hostile. My mother was followed by the guardian of the property and has met me in the Burger King parking lot, harassing me and my son in order for me not to see my mother, okay? And they had her so agitated. And to me, I stood up to him and I said to him, that's my mother, and bullying is not an option. Now, I stood up to him. He's 6'1".
Mm-hmm.
And it happened in front of my other son, who's an angel, who just stood there with his mouth open like he couldn't believe that this happened. So imagine if someone would have gone to her property. It's their property where she's living inside a garage, being held hostage. And how the courts have allowed this, I have no idea, and why. But now I'm stronger because of all of you. And every day that I suffer with pain and knocked out and floored, God has gotten me up by putting great people like you in this show. And now we are advocating for all these people. So you know what? Look at God. Stand on to God, because fear is the emotion that has been given to you by demonic people who are trying to intimidate you and bully you in order for them to take away the money of the vulnerable. Your children are parents. And every time I think about being fearful, I look up to God and say, you are my strength. And you know what? It's going to backfire on them, because he stalked my mother in order for my mother not to be able to see me and her other grandson. And so therefore, whenever evil people do evil things, it will turn it around, because now I have that in tape. And the judge will see that.
Good for you.
And so therefore, don't be afraid, because there are people just like you and me. And you know what? It's illegal to do that to an elder person or to your son. And you know what? You stand tall and stand strong. And God is in control, because I don't believe that he would have done. He has to use some people in order to make changes. It's like the Amber Alert. That little girl had to suffer, but her parents too strong. And every time there's a child missing, an alert goes. We need to do this for the mental, for our elders.
Yes.
Because that is connecting a mentally incapacitated person.
Right. And you know, it's also for all the adult children out there and the special needs children, and there's just so many of us that are
the ordinary people.
The ordinary people.
Off the street, like Anthony, Karen, Federico.
Hey, Peggy, are you still with us?
Yes.
Thank you so much. What would you say to Mary?
Mary, you're not alone, and. You know, my son is put in an institution, and when your child cries to you that he's being tortured, you're going to get on your hands and knees like I did and pray to God to give you the strength and the courage to go forward with this, because without God, I would not be here today talking on the radio about this. I would not be in the lobby 20 hours a day besides working to get where I'm at, because God is with me, my son needs me, and you will get to that point where I'm at today, and it'll turn your life around. Just give us a call when you're ready. We're here for you.
Well, you know what? We this has been a great, great show of, you know, of courage, and I cannot thank each and every one of my callers. I mean, Rob and I are just sitting here like I had a really – difficult time keeping track of who was on her board. But you know what? You guys have really grown in strength, and I cannot – I applaud each and every one of you for coming out and speaking tonight.
I do too, and I want to add my thanks and congratulations to each of you for letting your voice be heard, for doing something that is forward-thinking
right.
and forward-looking and forward-acting
right.
to end this kind of abuse.
Right.
These programs really do have an impact. They really do affect people. Both the victims and the perpetrators
right.
are aware of our program. And these perpetrators know that they are guilty of crime. They know that they are guilty. And they look to the future with the dread of the day that they are finally held accountable. Well, we are going to hasten the day. Almighty God, by thy power I ask thee, to hasten the day when each of these our callers sees justice.
Right, and also, and the good thing about that is all of our shows are archived. They are on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio. You can go in there. There's 100 different episodes.
Go to blogtalkradio.com/Hidden Truth Revealed.
Right, and they're all archived. I'm going to be reposting this show back up onto our site and all over Facebook, so you can go ahead and you can listen to it again. You can download it. You can share it with your friends.
You can also go through our archives and see what some of those shows were about and do some research there. There's
right.
some excellent guests who had excellent information that may help you in your own fight.
Right. And also, I talked to Peggy earlier. She said she might want to come on and become a radio show host. If any of you want to do that, I will personally train you. You could come on to our channel. You can do a couple nights a week, one night a week. I'll give you a night, and you can start hosting your own show. It's a very powerful tool to let them know that you're not messing around and you can get the word out to all your friends. You know, these shows are international. They're also covered through the whole United States. So, you know, your voice is carried, you know, in a lot of different directions.
That's right.
You know, excuse my voice. This is our fourth radio show we've done this week, and I'm starting to lose my voice.
My husband wants to run for office down in Punta Gorda so he can expose what's going on.
Good.
But the problem is you have to have so much money to be able to even get on the ticket to run. He doesn't
right.
care
right.
where
right.
he wins. He wants to expose
yep.
it.
But I tell you what, to run a Blog Talk radio show, it's not that expensive. It is just so well worth it. It's like $40 a month, people. You can do a radio show. The thing is learning the techniques on how to do the Blog Talk radio show. And especially when you have callers lined up to call in and they don't show up, but you always do great people to come in and talk about their experiences. So we thank each and every one of you.
coming on tonight.
We need people like us to run for office, though, not
we do.
Lawyers being representatives.
Friends of ours that we are really pushing hard to get them in there. But, yeah, that's another way that you could do that is run for office. No, I'll get you onto the radio show and we'll
if I ever get out of this mess.
Right.
It is amazing how they intimidate us because I spoke out. I'm not afraid to speak out, but I had the economic crime unit down in Collier County tell me, the sergeant, the head of the office, come out and say, oh, it's you, go home, shut your mouth, sit in the corner and stop contacting government offices and telling them what's going on in our state.
Okay.
Oh. Uh-huh. It's that. I called the judge yesterday,
well, that tells
Judge
you
Shango.
How deep the corruption goes.
It tells you how deep it really goes. Anyway, I guess that's our show for tonight, and this was May 2nd.
Okay.
I wanted to give a shout out to my sister. I wanted to give a shout out to my sister first before we go ahead, and then I'll give our shout out.
I wanted to mention that there's a senior core operations consultant. It's on the Office of the State Courts Administrator, and they're in Tallahassee, and you can email them about your issues. And
they don't do anything, though.
And the email is, colterm@flcourts.org.
Right.
And his name is. Her name is Melinda Coulter.
He might want to post that to us in an email or something.
Yeah,
but
if you go ahead and post that,
and nobody helped.
Marcy, if you want to go ahead and post that, I'll make sure I put it all over Faces. We're up on Facebook. It's Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards Faces. You can reach me, Luann Fleming, on Messenger if you want to. And we're going to go ahead and end our show tonight. But this is May 2nd episode of 2018. I want to give a shout out to my sister. She lost her husband 33 years ago today. And tomorrow is the anniversary where I lost my husband, Michael Scott Fleming. It will be 13 years ago tomorrow. So I just wanted to give a shout out to my sister and I. It's been kind of sad, crying out. It's been raining here in Colorado for like today and tomorrow, but then it's going to clear up. And, you know, I think it's the guys crying for us up there. I don't know. That's what my sister and I always say. Anyway, my voice is dying. I appreciate you. You know, giving up is definitely not an option, right?
That's right.
Nope.
And justice requires
fighting.
Accountability.
Right. Justice requires transparency and accountability. We say that at the end of every one of our shows. And everybody, please stand up. If you have to wear a mask, but please don't ever shut up and never be quiet about what's happening in our nation.
Let people know.
We're going to keep them home.
Right.
Thank you.
Good
all
night, warrior ladies and men.
Yeah.
Good night.
Everybody. God bless everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you so much.
We're going to do a little thank you.
Thank you.